Okay, so check your calendars. It is late February 2026. And if you've been glancing at the headlines this week with all the,
Stock dips.
yeah, the stock dips, the panic press releases, you might be tempted to call it just a rough patch for the gaming industry, but we are looking at something far more structural today.
Much more structural, yeah.
We have a document in front of us that suggests the industry isn't just having a bad week. It is actually undergoing a complete rewrite of its operating system.
It really is. I mean,
Yeah.
we are looking at the Tech and Garage War Room, the 2026 Gaming Industry Evolution Report. And I have to say, the tone of this document is just, well, it's striking.
Right.
It doesn't read like a standard market analysis or even a quarterly review. It reads more like a system crash
A
log.
crash log. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, the authors are basically framing the current state of gaming as a debug session for
Yeah.
the entire entertainment ecosystem.
Debug is exactly the right word because they aren't talking about mere trends here. They are talking about evolutionary mutations, system failures. So our mission for this deep dive is to parse six specific signals from this report.
Right, to really unpack what's happening.
Exactly. We are looking at a massive leadership change at Microsoft that might actually end the console war as we know it. We've got a meteor strike from Rockstar Games that has left a huge crater in the economy.
Huge crater.
And a really fascinating counter movement involving what the report calls comfort code.
We are essentially trying to understand how the source code of the industry is being altered in real time. These aren't just business moves. They are signals that the fundamental logic of how games are made, sold, and played is shifting.
Shifting completely. So let's just open the file and jump right in. The first signal is flashing red, and it is coming from Redmond, Microsoft.
Microsoft, yeah, the big one.
Right. For the last decade, if you thought about Xbox, you thought about Phil Spencer. He was the gamer CEO, you know, the guy in the t-shirt.
The architect of Game Pass.
Exactly. He was the friendly face who really stabilized the brand after the whole Xbox One era. But the report confirms it. The Phil Spencer era is officially over. He has retired.
Which is huge news on its own.
It is. And normally, when a division head retires, you expect the successor to be, I don't know, a studio head, maybe a marketing executive.
Someone from the culture.
Right, someone from the gaming culture. But Satya Nadella went in a very, very different direction. He tapped Asha Sharma.
Which is the first massive mutation the report identifies.
Yeah, break that down for us. Who is Asha Sharma?
Well, Asha Sharma isn't a traditional gaming executive at all. She is a systemic architect from Silicon Valley's artificial intelligence sector.
Wow.
Her background is strictly in machine learning infrastructure, not game design, not publishing.
And that is the key distinction here, because you don't put an AI architect in charge of a gaming console unless you plan to fundamentally change what that console actually is.
Precisely. And the report uses a very specific, slightly chilling phrase here. It says, under Sharma, Xbox is transitioning from a console manufacturer to an AI-driven processing node.
An AI-driven processing node? That's a complete ontological shift.
It is. The report argues that Microsoft is basically done viewing the Xbox as a plastic box under your TV that plays discs.
Or even just digital downloads.
Right. They are positioning it as an endpoint for a cloud-based generative ecosystem.
Now, to be fair, Sharma did issue a statement almost immediately after the announcement, probably to stop the stock from free-falling.
Yeah, damage control.
She promised that this pivot doesn't mean a future of soulless AI-generated content.
Of course she did. That is the necessary PR firewall.
Right.
But the Tech and Garage analysts point us to the Inspector System Warning section of the report. This is where they analyze the actual financial incentives.
And what do those incentives look like?
The report argues that you don't bring in an AI specialist to maintain the status quo. You don't bring her in to keep handcrafting every single tree and rock in a game world. This is about a shift from pre-rendered assets to what they call living computational worlds.
Okay, let's unpack that term, living computational worlds, because that sounds like buzzword bingo. What does that actually look like for you, the player sitting on the couch?
It means the game isn't a static file anymore. Imagine an RPG where the NPC dialogue isn't a script written 3 years ago by a team of writers.
Okay.
Instead, it's an LLM, a large language model, reacting to your specific playstyle and choices in real time,
That's
where
wild.
the environment itself is being generated on the fly, based on your biometric feedback or your difficulty preferences.
I mean, that sounds incredible from a pure tech perspective, but the report highlights a massive risk here for the industry itself, doesn't it?
It does. They call it the cost optimization risk. This is really the darker side of the mutation.
Because it threatens jobs.
It's exactly. The report warns that traditional studios, the ones that take 5 to 7 years to handcraft a game like The Last of Us or God of War, they're at immediate risk.
Because they just can't compete with the speed.
Right. If Xbox's new model proved that you can generate a massive world in 6 months using generative pipelines, the human-crafted method becomes financially obsolete in the eyes of shareholders.
So the warning to developers is essentially adapt your pipeline to AI or face closure. It's an adapt or die signal.
Precisely. It's a brutal reality check.
But while Microsoft is looking at this long-term AI horizon, the rest of the industry is currently dealing with a very immediate, very physical crisis.
The economic black hole.
The economic black hole. Huh. We are talking, of course, about Grand Theft Auto 6.
The ghost in the machine.
There were rumors for weeks, you know, dark web chatter, nervous investors, but it is official. Rockstar and Take-Two have pushed the release date from spring 2026 to November 19th, 2026.
Which sent shockwaves everywhere.
It did. Now, I can hear you listening to this and saying, okay, it's a six-month delay. Games get delayed all the time. Why is this being called a black hole?
You really have to look at the ecosystem dependencies here. The report describes this delay as shrapnel.
Shrapnel.
Yeah. Think about Sony and Microsoft's hardware strategy. Both companies had perfectly synchronized their mid-generation console refreshes. The PS5 Pro, the new Xbox iterations. They built those specifically to launch alongside GTA 6.
So they built the ship, but the ocean just dried up.
That is a great way to put it. They are sitting on massive inventories of expensive, high-powered hardware that was designed to run one specific game.
Because you don't buy a $700 console upgrade to play a 2D indie platformer.
Exactly. You buy it to run the most demanding simulation ever made. And with GTA moving to November, there is a massive content void in the first half of 2026.
So Sony and Microsoft are essentially left holding the bag. They have the hardware, but they have no killer app to justify the purchase for the consumer.
And their quarterly revenues are going to take a massive hit because of it.
So why did Rockstar do it? The pressure from Take-Two to hit that spring window must have been absolutely immense.
The report calls it the cyberpunk ghost.
Ah, referencing CD Projekt Red back in 2020.
Rockstar looked at what happened there. They know that if they release GTA 6 in a buggy, unoptimized state, it doesn't just hurt initial sales. It annihilates the brand value for a decade.
Right, you can't kill the golden goose.
Exactly. They are choosing to swallow the short-term financial losses to ensure the source code is flawless. It has to be untouchable.
It's a total power move. They know they are the only studio on Earth who can hold the entire industry hostage like this.
They absolutely are.
But what is really fascinating here is that while the giants, Sony and Microsoft, are stumbling over this delay, the report points out a cybernetic counterattack. And it's coming from a very unexpected flank.
Valve.
Valve, yes. This section of the report really surprised me. I mean, we've seen data mined leaks before, but Taken Garage is treating this as confirmed intelligence.
They're very confident in this.
Valve is preparing a major hardware assault for spring 2026.
And we need to be crystal clear here. This isn't the Steam Deck 2. We aren't talking about another handheld device.
Right.
The report details the full revival of the Steam machine.
The Steam machine. Man, that really brings back memories. That was Valve's attempt to get into the living room about a decade ago. And it
flopped, let's be honest.
It totally flopped. It was confusing. There were too many manufacturers. The controller was weird. And nobody wanted a Linux box back then, so why try again now?
Because the environment has completely mutated. 10 years ago, Linux gaming was a compatibility nightmare. You had to tinker for hours just to get a menu to load.
Yeah, it was not consumer-friendly.
But today,
sure,
we have the Steam Deck. Valve has spent the last 5 years perfecting Proton. That's the compatibility layer that makes Windows games run seamlessly on Linux.
It just translates it on the fly.
Exactly. And the report says this new Steam machine is an ultra-powerful desktop console running on a unified SteamOS 3.0 architecture.
Okay, so it's a console that plays my entire PC library.
Without the friction. That is their key value proposition. The report calls it a literal war on bloatware.
Because gamers are just increasingly frustrated with Windows.
The driver updates, the background processes eating up your RAM, the forced restarts. Valve is offering a pure plug-and-play solution. You plug this box into your TV, it boots instantly into your Steam library, and it just works.
And the timing on this seems almost predatory in a really smart way.
It's a brilliant flanking maneuver. Think about it. Sony and Microsoft just lost their big spring seller with the GTA delay.
Right.
If Valve comes out in March or April and says, hey, you don't have GTA yet, but here is a box that plays your entire existing backlog in 4K. Plus, it supports our brand new VR headset, the Steam Frame.
The Steam Frame, I saw that in the specs. It's designed to be a totally frictionless entry into VR.
Right. High fidelity, plug and play. If they price this entire package aggressively, and the report actually suggests they might heavily subsidize the hardware cost just to capture the living room space.
Or get the install base.
Exactly. They could finally break the console duopoly. They are effectively telling you, the player, you don't need to buy into a new ecosystem. You just need a better way to access the games you already own.
It's an incredibly compelling pitch. But, you know, while we are talking about all this new hardware and these future tech ecosystems, there is a section of this report that I found just psychologically fascinating.
A player behavior data.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It deals with player behavior, specifically regarding older games. The report calls it the immortality of comfort code.
This is honestly my favorite part of the whole analysis.
Yeah.
Because it completely challenges the industry's obsession with newness and high fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
The data is showing a massive anomaly in player retention.
Specifically with the Diablo franchise.
Yes. So Diablo 4 is the current flagship. It's a massive, modern, live service game. It has the cutting edge graphics, the battle pass, the constant seasonal content updates.
That's the new shiny thing.
Right. But the report notes that Diablo 3, a game that is ancient by current tech standards, is retaining millions of daily active players.
Why? I mean, logically, everyone should have migrated over. Diablo 4 is supposedly the better game on paper.
But is it actually a better experience?
Hmm.
The report argues that Diablo 4 is work. It has friction, it's dark, it's highly complex, and it requires managing a lot of intricate systems.
You have to think about it constantly.
Yes. Diablo 3, on the other hand, is described here as a dopamine machine. It is pure flow state. You jump in, you explode screens full of monsters, you get your loot. It's immediate, bright gratification.
They actually use the term digital meditation, which I love.
It's very accurate. The insight here is that players aren't always looking for deep immersion or punishing challenges. Sometimes they're just looking for that comfort code.
Right.
A gameplay loop that is predictable, rhythmic, and satisfying. Is the difference between watching a really complex prestige drama and just rewatching your favorite sitcom for the 10th time.
You just want to relax. And it's not just Diablo. We have to talk about the total anomaly that is Age of Empires 2.
This is the ultimate proof of what the report calls the cybernetic law.
Huh?
Flawless gameplay never expires.
Age of Empires 2 launched in 1999. Think about that. 1999. And yet, here we are in 2026, and they just released a massive official DLC called The Last Chieftains.
27 years after launch.
27 years, and people are actually buying it.
It's topping the Steam charts as we speak. Why? Because the game relies on absolute skill. Actions per minute, pure strategy, economic management.
It's not relying on flashy graphics or random number generation.
No. The report notes that you simply cannot update fun into obsolescence. If the underlying math of the game is good, it's good forever.
Which stands in such stark contrast to the Microsoft AI pivot we started this deep dive with.
It really does.
On one hand, you have these living worlds generated by algorithms that change every second to adapt to you. On the other hand, you have millions of people clinging to 2D sprites from 1999 because the human design was just that fundamentally perfect.
It creates a massive split in the demographic. You have the neophiles chasing the AI horizon and the purists retreating into the comfort code.
And this split isn't just about preference anymore. It's getting political, too. Which brings us to the ideological platform wars.
Right. This is the section on the indie scene. The report describes a literal guerrilla war brewing over where games are actually allowed to be sold.
This has been simmering for years now. But
yeah.
The catalyst for this specific flare-up was the recent blocking of the game Abide.
Yes.
For those who don't know, that's the stop-motion horror game, right?
That's the one. Highly acclaimed by critics. Very artistic, but undeniably very intense. Steam and Epic's algorithms effectively shadow banned it. They flagged it for having an excessively disturbing psychological atmosphere.
Excessively disturbing. I mean, that feels incredibly subjective for an automated algorithm to decide.
That is exactly the problem the indie developers are pointing out. The report analyzes this as a result of advertiser alignment.
Meaning they don't want to scare away the ad revenue.
Exactly. The major storefronts want to appeal to the broadest possible mass market. Their algorithms are becoming increasingly conservative. They are filtering out difficult or abrasive art to keep the platform quote-unquote safe for general audiences.
And just to be clear to everyone listening, we are not taking a stance on platform moderation policies or censorship here.
Right, absolutely not. We are just looking at the market dynamics.
We are just relaying the facts from the report. But practically speaking, if you are an indie dev making something gritty or controversial, where do you go? Because you can't survive if you aren't on Steam.
You go to GOG.
GOG.
The report notes a massive migration of independent developers to CD Projekt's platform. GOG used to be known almost exclusively as the good old game store. The place you go for retro stuff.
Yeah, that's where I bought all my old DOS games.
But now, they are actively rebranding as the safe haven for unfiltered creativity.
That is a brilliant pivot by them, basically saying, come here, we won't censor your art, and we won't infect it with DRM either.
It positions GOG as the punk rock venue versus the corporate stadium of Steam. And it proves a really vital point in the report. You cannot kill the demand for avant-garde or dark content. You can only displace it.
Right. If the main platforms ban it, the creative code just migrates to a new server.
The audience follows the art.
Okay, so let's try to synthesize all of this, because we've covered a lot of ground today. It really feels like the industry is fracturing into pieces.
It is fracturing. The old monolith of gaming is gone. We are seeing three distinct futures emerging simultaneously right now.
Okay, let's break those down. First, the high-tech future. That is Asha Sharma and Xbox. The bet that AI, generative worlds, and these processing nodes are the next necessary evolution.
Right. Then you have the blockbuster future.
Right.
That is Rockstar and the massive delay of GTA 6. The belief that massive billion-dollar handcrafted spectacles are still the undisputed kings of the industry.
Assuming they can actually cross the finish line without bankrupting the publishers first.
A big assumption, but yes.
And finally, we have the human future. The comfort code. The retro games. The indie rebels migrating to GOG. The belief that human-made, specific, static art is what people actually crave on a fundamental level.
It's essentially a battle between the bleeding edge of technology and the fundamental human desire for pure play.
Before we wrap up, we really have to touch on the inspector's final note in the report. It's titled, Recommended Gear for 2026 Survival. It's a nice little reality check for the hardware side of things.
It is. The report emphasizes that this massive software split creates a very real hardware gap for consumers.
How so?
Well, if you are one of those players diving back into Age of Empires 2 competitive play, the report says you need zero-error optical sensors in your mouse.
Because it's all about precision.
Exactly. You need mechanical precision because the game is entirely about millisecond timing and human skill.
But on the flip side, if you're waiting for GTA 6 to drop,
then you need to be looking very closely at your thermal solutions.
Your cooling fans.
Yes. The report explicitly states that the raw processing demands of GTA 6, whenever it finally arrives in November, are going to literally melt current-gen mid-range processors. They say running on slow hardware is strategic suicide.
A bit dramatic with the wording, but point taken, if you want to run the ultimate simulation, you need the cooling systems to actually back it up.
Exactly. Don't skimp on the fans this year.
You know, looking at this entire landscape, the AI takeover, the massive delays, the retro resurgence, I have a thought about where this is all heading.
Go on. What are you thinking?
We see Microsoft betting the farm on AI to create infinite content faster and cheaper. But then we see millions of people completely ignoring that infinite content to play Diablo 3. Just because the loop feels right.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, for you listening to this, are we moving toward a future where the phrase human-made becomes the ultimate luxury tag in gaming?
Oh, I think that is exactly where the trajectory points. We might see a near future where AI generates the bulk of our basic entertainment. The endless fetch quests, the dynamic background dialogues, the filler.
The fast food of gaming.
Right. But the games that people truly cherish, the ones they keep playing for 20 years, those will be the ones where a real human being sat down, wrote the code, and handcrafted the emotional loop.
Because comfort code is human code.
That is the ultimate lesson of the report.
Definitely something for you to mull over while you upgrade your cooling fans for November. Listeners, keep your processors running, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.
Stay eager out there.